Thank you for joining us today at Denton Christian Church, where we exist for one reason, to help make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you'd like any more information about us, please check us out online at dentonchristianchurch.com. We join Preacher Billy Johnson today as he preaches from God's Word.
My wife and I used to sit next to each other at the dinner table. Like, I'd sit at the end, and she'd sit right on that corner, right on my right side right there, and it was perfect. And then Peter happened. And Peter is, if you don't know my Peter, he turns 3 years old in September, and he's crazy. And so he sits in between us now because he needs to be fully surrounded by adults at all times. But there's been one really big disadvantage to that, because I just want you to picture here with me at the dinner table with me and my wife and our five children, and I've got, let's just picture one of my favorite meals. I got that perfectly grilled ribeye steak right on the plate with some, you know, maybe some broccoli on the side and a baked potato, and it's just perfect. And we hold hands and say, okay, sometimes we hold hands. Sometimes we're like, all right, guys, just be quiet. We got to pray here, okay? We always pray, though, and we pray over the meal, and we're thankful to God for what he's blessed us with, and I get that knife out, and I'm ready to cut into it, and Peter, sitting right here on my right now, sneezes with his mouth full of potato all over this plate of lovely food. See, this perfect, lovely, uncontaminated, grilled to perfection, medium rare ribeye has now become gross, contaminated, not great. Hang on to that for a second. We've been going through a marriage series here for the last, this is the fourth week of the marriage series. We got one more after this. Hey, put that picture up there for me, Matt. It's called From This Day Forward. And it's five commitments that we think and we look at and we say, hey, if we want a marriage that's going to honor God, to be fail-proof, it's going to have these five commitments in them. And we started off saying, hey, if you're going to have a marriage that honors and pleases God, it's going to be seeking God together. And that's what that arrow pointing up is. It's going to be a commitment to fight fair. Every marriage is going to have disagreements and arguments. But the point of disagreements and arguments is to come to resolution, not to win the fight. And we talked about fighting fair. Last week we talked about having fun, okay? Some of you guys need to have some fun in your marriage. And we made that kind of, that was our PG-13 sermon. Today, I want to talk to you. I want to get more serious here with you about some things here. And that's, we need to stay pure. Purity in marriage is huge. We need to make and keep the commitment to stay pure. Now, I would define purity as freedom from contamination, right? A perfect ribeye steak without toddler mashed potatoes half chewed, sprayed all over it, along with whatever came out of his nose, okay? Impurity, then, when we start talking about marriage, would be anything that contaminates your physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual connection with your spouse, or if you're not married, with your future spouse. Something that's going to poison that. And we're tempted to kind of dismiss a very strict definition of impurity, okay? Because I've heard it said. I've heard it said in marriages when they're talking about, lust or having impure thoughts about somebody that's not your spouse. I've heard this very word, and we'll bring it back to food for a minute here. It doesn't matter where you get your appetite from as long as you eat at home. And I go, I'm not so sure about that. Number one, that doesn't work with food. If I'm sitting over at my neighbor's house, at Adam's house, and he's got this great plate of food, and I just sit there and stare at it the whole time, it's not going to be long before I take it off his plate, right? And here's the idea. Some of you are lost already, okay? Well, let me come back to it, and you'll understand. What I want to say is this, is anything that contaminates is dangerous. Impurity is toddler mashed potatoes on your steak, okay? And impurity, what you need to know is impurity is normal. It's the norm in our world. And we're reaping what we sow because of that. Just look at the world around us. Seriously, just look at the world around us. If you were to go out and talk to everybody and ask them two different questions, number one, did you ever have the goal? Okay, that's the first kind of question. And what I mean by that is this. Did you ever have the goal to become addicted to pornography? Nobody would say, yep, that's what I wanted to do. Did you ever have the goal to have that emotional affair with somebody else and kind of give all of your time, attention, and affection to somebody else? Did you ever have the goal to just commit adultery? Did you ever have that goal? I think I'm going to get up and commit adultery today. And most people would say, nope, that's not the goal I started out with. That's not what I wanted to happen. But it happens way too often. 50% of men and women would admit, maybe privately or anonymously, but admit to having infidelity in their life. Not only that, almost 75% of men will admit to viewing pornography at least once a month. And the numbers for women are growing as well. What I'm trying to say to you is, this impurity, this allowing these things into our heart and into our mind and into our life is becoming normal. And because of that, adultery is on the rise and divorce is on the rise. 90% of Americans, if you ask them, would say committing or having an affair for any reason is absolutely morally wrong. They would say, oh, it's wrong to have an affair. But we just said over 50% of people say they've done it. So we say it's wrong and we do it. Anyway, why in the world have we got to that place? Why in the world are we at that situation? And I think it's this. It's because if we want to have purity, we have to make a plan for purity. We've got to make a plan for it to happen. It just doesn't happen. We don't just go, okay, I want to be faithful to my spouse all the days of my life, and it's just going to happen without me thinking about it. No, you have to have a plan. You have to have boundaries. You have to have guidelines. We have to ditch this normal way of thinking and seek God's way of thinking. And I need you to know, I'm going to set the bar really high today. And I think that's because God sets the bar really high today. Here is my definition of faithfulness in marriage, especially when we start talking about the physical relationship, and it's this, and this is extreme. There's your only warning. This is an extreme definition, and that's this. The only place you get any kind of sexual gratification is from your spouse, whether that's mentally or physically. The only place you get any kind of sexual gratification is from your spouse. And so let's make a plan to make that happen. How can we stay pure? Now, whether you're married or not yet married or don't ever plan to be married, this applies and is a question for all of us because God has called us all to purity. God has called us all to making that a priority in our life. And so I'm going to give you two things here. There's two big points and we're going to have a couple of little points under them. But two big points. Number one, if we're going to have a plan for purity, we must be changed internally. We must be internally changed. We believe that this process of sanctification is something that God does to us. It is Him working in us and changing our hearts from the inside out through the presence of His Holy Spirit. We are by ourselves broken and sinful, but when we come to Christ, we are filled with His presence and His Spirit, and He begins to change us from the inside out. This is the way that Romans chapter 12 words it. Could you put Romans 12 up there for me, Matt? Romans 12, 2 says this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." Don't conform to the normal pattern of the normal way of doing thing in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are renewed when we hand them to Christ. Christ, everything I think about, every thought process I have, every framework for reality that I possess, everything I have is yours. Make it new in you. And Christ transforms the way we think. This is internal. This isn't just behavior modification. This isn't like learning to quit smoking, okay? This is something that he changes from the inside out. He retrains the way we think about things and the way we look at the world. And we don't look at sexuality like the world looks at sexuality. We look at sexuality the way that God has created sexuality to be. And this starts, this whole idea of being internally changed starts by being reflective. Now here's what I mean by that. Psalm chapter 119. That'd be here for it. How can a young man keep his way pure? We're asking that question already today, right? So let's go and see what God has to say about it. It says, by living according to your word. See this verse 10, this is huge. I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We don't want to be contaminated by our own evil desires, but we want to be transformed by his spirit in us as we reflect on his word and we let it fill us. We let God's message fill us. I know, I hear you, okay? This is a tough question to ask. It's a tough question to answer, and it's one that I have to answer and stand before God with as well. But what do we allow to fill our minds? What do we allow? Is it God's word and God's truth? Or do we allow our minds to be filled with everything else? If the movies you watch, the stuff you look at, if all of those things were contaminated, impure, gross, I mean, what's going on in our hearts? We need to fill ourselves with God's word, reflecting on it. So this internal change begins with allowing God's word to be planted in our hearts, reflecting on it, allowing it to fill us, change us, and to grow in it. But it also happens, this internal change happens in prayer. And we need to pray some dangerous prayers. Let's go to that Psalm 139. This is a very dangerous, can I just give you, there should be like a warning label on certain Bible verses, okay? They're like, handle with care. Caution, this will ruin your life. Okay, if you honestly pray the prayer mentioned in Psalm 139, it could ruin your life. But I can give you some good news. On the other end of that, you'll find a much better life. And these are the words that the psalmist prays, and I would encourage you to pray with an open and honest heart, and it's this: search me, O God, and know my heart. Know the very core of everything I am. Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, show me if there's anything wrong at the depth of who I am. Show me if there's any small, insignificant, offensive way in my heart. Test me, search me, know me. And if there is, lead me in the everlasting way. Lead me to a better way of doing life, the way that you've called me to do it. Let me tell you what, that is a dangerous prayer to pray. But let me also tell you that when you pray it, when you honestly seek him, you will find him, and you will find a better way. So I say, be reflective and be in prayer and be submissive. Is a third part of this internal change. And I know we hate this word. Us Americans really, really, really hate the idea of submitting to any authority in our life. We've got this independence streak, and it's good. It's brought prosperity and good things into our culture, absolutely. But we hate this idea of submission as a general rule, okay? But our Heavenly Father, and we talk about him as Abba Father and Papa and the great love he has for us, we sometimes forget that he's also Lord. He is in charge. He is the boss, and we need to be his people that are submitted in obedience to his will. We've got to do what he's called us to do. And I honestly believe that Christ will change us internally, transform our hearts, renew our minds when we become reflective, prayerful, and submissive to him. Here's the thing, we're not his puppets. He's not going to force his way into our lives. We have to yield and submit to him. And then things change. So there's this internal aspect. We have to be internally changed by Christ. But also, there's more than just that. We have to be externally guarded. We have to protect our purity. Because even though God changes us inwardly, we still have temptations. Everyone can be tempted. Hear me loudly and clearly. Everyone can be tempted. If you start to think that you can't be tempted, buckle up, because you are in trouble already. And so let's talk about just a couple ways to be externally guarded here. All right, I'm going to pick up speed here because I don't want to get too long-winded today. Number one, get honest, okay? Ask yourself the hard questions. There are some hard questions that need to be asked. Each and every one of us. We talked about it just a little bit already. But ask yourselves the hard questions. We start talking about sexuality and sexual purity specifically. Why do my eyes linger on that TV ad, you know? Why do I really want to go talk to that person more? Is there something more there? Do I have a secret life that I keep guarded from everybody else? Would I be mad if my spouse watched what I watch or met with that person the way I met with that person? We ask ourselves some of these hard questions. Why did I really look up that person on Facebook and scroll through their profile pictures? Yeah, we have to get honest and ask some tough questions. And maybe we don't even need to just ask ourselves those questions, but we need to have somebody that we love and trust ask us those questions as well. So get honest. Get drastic. Set some hardcore boundaries to protect the purity of your marriage. Maybe that means having your computer and mobile devices monitored. Maybe that means an absolute commitment to never spend time alone with somebody of the opposite sex. That's a rule. By the way, in case you ever like think it's odd, that's one of the rules that I have in ministry. So if one of you ladies says, hey, I really need to talk to you, Billy, no problem. We'll get together and talk. But it'll probably be at my house with my wife there, or it'll probably be out in public somewhere, okay? But we're not going to meet up at the church building by ourselves. It's just one of those safeguards. It's not that I don't trust you or don't trust me. I just don't trust everybody else. I don't trust what they would say about it, so we just don't do it. Maybe we need to set up boundaries like sharing all passwords, Facebook accounts, emails, etc., whatever it happens to be, with our spouse. They get access to everything. Maybe we need to stop watching movies that are intended to titillate our urges. Your mind needs to stay renewed in Christ. And I know some of you are out there, I saw a couple of eye rolls, and that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to be convinced today. And you're thinking in your own mind, this sounds kind of alarmist. This sounds a little bit crazy. But I want you to hear me. I say these things because it's a path. It's a path that leads to places you don't want to go. Nobody ever said, hey, I just got married and I hope to have an affair in 5 years. Nobody ever says, hey, I just got married and I hope I'm addicted to pornography in 5 years. But there's a path that this takes. It's a road that leads to bad things and leads to a marriage that is not what Christ wants. And at the end of that road, when everything's been destroyed, and you ask the question, was it worth it? The answer is always and unequivocally no. In fact, Jesus got drastic. Jesus got alarmist, okay? This isn't just me being crazy, extreme alarmist about these kinds of things. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. This is going to be a longer passage. It's going to be smaller, okay? But you might just want to write down this verse because it's great to grab onto. It says, you've heard that it was said, don't commit adultery. Jesus is referring to the Old Testament, to the Ten Commandments, right? Don't commit adultery. That's one of the things. Don't cheat on your spouse. But Jesus takes it to a whole another level. If we're going to have not just outward morality, but we're going to have inward purity, it's got to go beyond just the physical action. It's got to be a piece of our mind as well. It says, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Sin can happen before any action takes place. It begins in our mind. It begins in our heart. Verse 29, and this is where Jesus gets extreme and alarmist. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Ouch. If it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body. And Jesus gets this extreme alarmist, hey, if there's a sin problem, cut it off. Take care of it. Get rid of it. Now, Jesus, as he often did in the Sermon on the Mount, is speaking in hyperbole, okay? Please don't mutilate yourself this week, okay? But what he is saying is, if there's a sin problem, you need to be drastic and extreme in taking care of the sin problem. Don't shortcut this. Don't excuse it and don't justify it. Cut it out. Whatever is leading you on that path to destruction, it is time to cut it out. Take drastic, severe, and immediate action. This is huge, guys. I know I'm sounding kind of negative Nelly today, okay? I can't express to you how huge this is. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 about this very topic. It says, flee from sexual immorality. Now, I want you to know this, okay? Paul often talks about temptation. He often talks about sin. And oftentimes he words it in a fight mentality. Put on the armor of God and fight against this stuff. It is beautiful. It's always fight against most temptation. But when it comes to the temptation to sexual immorality, do you see the word he uses? It's not fight. It's not stand strong. It's not look it in the eyes. It's run away. Flee. Get out of there when this comes into your life. Because this sin is so much different than any others. It's so much different. So I say get drastic, okay? Get honest, get drastic, and get some help. Get some help with this. Have one, two, or three people that you can talk to about whatever struggle you've got going on. People that will kick you in the face, not literally, of course, but verbally. Be with those tough friends. The Proverbs say that the wounds of a friend can be trusted. We need people to go, that was dumb, Billy. Don't do that. Hey, Billy, how have you been doing with that? You know, okay, I'm getting a little. But people that will hold you to a standard and not just give you a free pass. Everyone needs at least someone who will ask them the tough questions. Everyone needs someone to speak into their life and see the truth, speak the truth that will keep us from ruin. And it will be uncomfortable. Yep, I hear you. It'll be uncomfortable. But better a little discomfort now than ruin later. Better to have a buddy who's going to say, hey, that's dumb now, than to have ruin later. Can I just tell you a personal story about this? I had a very good friend that I knew. He was a colleague in ministry, a guy who got down a path he didn't need to go. In fact, he had developed an emotional affair with a woman who was not his wife. It never progressed to a physical level. And his wife called a couple of us friends in ministry and just said, I don't know what to do in this situation. Can you talk to him? And I remember we went to his office at the church building. We all got together. We all lived it like an hour away. And we got to the office at the church building. And it was the most awkward and uncomfortable thing I have ever done in my life. But we looked him in the eye and we said, You are throwing away your marriage, you are discrediting your ministry, and you are forsaking the commitment that you made before God. And we called him to that. And then we called the elders of his church in, and we said, here's what's going on. Let's work together to figure this out. By the way, that was 10 years ago. That was 10 years ago. It was before I was here. It was at least 10 years ago, anyway. It might have been even longer than that. And he worked with the elders. He worked with his wife. He cut everything off. And they are happily and wonderfully married to this day. And he's still in ministry at that church. And so I say all of that to say, get some help. Have some friends who can wound you. Not because we enjoy that, but because we can find grace on the other side. And if you're someone sitting in this room who's been down that path, who's walked down that road, and you have brought contamination into your marriage, you've sneezed toddler mashed potatoes all over the perfect thing that God has given you, you need to know that there is hope and there is grace. And God can do the impossible and make the impure and the unclean pure and clean again. And we have the responsibility to do everything we can to stay pure. Be internally changed. Let God do work as you reflect in him in prayer, as you seek cleansing, as you hear his word and submit to his will. Be externally guarded. Be honest with yourself, get drastic, and find some help to overcome. And when we do that, go ahead and put that picture up there for me again, Matt. When we do that, from this day forward, we make it our commitment from this day forward to make purity a priority in our marriage. We're going to find a marriage that is healthy and vibrant and thriving. It will keep the toddler mashed potatoes off the beautiful steak that God has given you. And I know this is tough. I know this is not easy. I know it's extreme. But this is God's calling for us. And it's not God's calling because he's some old-fashioned fuddy-duddy. It's because he knows that a pure, committed, healthy marriage is the best kind that we can have. So make this commitment from this day forward. I will make purity a priority. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. You are awesome and amazing. And we want to seek you and honor you. And God, we have a difficult subject in front of us today. We have a subject that brings issues to the surface that most of the time we'd rather just not talk about. We'd like to brush aside. But God, we know that when we bring our issues into your light, that you have this marvelous power to change hearts, to purify minds, to renew us, and to bring us and to transform us. And so God, we bring all of this to you. And God, I pray right now for all of the marriages represented in this room, for all of the marriages that will be in this room, all the marriages that have been, all the marriages that are. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that in each of those marriages that you'll find people who are committed to serving you, committed to serving you through purity. God, we love you, we praise you, and we submit all of this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's sermon at Denton Christian Church. For more information about how you can become a disciple of Jesus Christ, or to subscribe to this podcast, or to watch a live stream of our services, please visit DentonChristianChurch.com. We hope that you will join us again next week.